gente, welcome to another episode of El ADN Podcast, where every week we sit down with the movers and shakers of our culture for an honest and intimate conversation about their career journey, including all the challenges and failures they've overcome to reach their current success. I'm your host, Victoria Leandra. Meet Lisette Calveiro. After more than 9 years of experience in PR and social media, she founded Influence with Impact, a company that supports content creators in turning their social presence into a balanced business with community impact through her courses and mastermind. She's also an established influencer and marketing consultant to Fortune 500 brands. Previously, Lisette was the director of influencer marketing at Ogilvy and Havas, some of the largest agencies in the world. Lisette, I am so excited to have you join us on El ADN Podcast. You're one of those guests that has been in my to contact list forever. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh. The feeling is mutual. You've been on the opposite, which is manifestation. I hope I get invited one time. I really love what you're building here.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much. Lisette, one thing that I love about your story is that you, of course, have become a well-known influencer yourself, and you've built a business in influencer marketing, but at first you didn't succeed as an influencer, at least not financially. So I want to talk a little bit more about sort of the downfall of trying to become an influencer that not a lot of people talk about because not a lot of people are open about the beginnings.
When I first started creating content on social media, it was for a very selfish purpose. It was like, hey, mom and dad, I moved to New York. Here's where I'm at. The end. No other rhyme or reason, which fast forward is so important to how you're building a platform. And for me, for so long, I used to say, well, I'm not an influencer. I'm just a blogger. I just love, you know, showing my outfits, showing where I'm eating. I'm just those things, right? I'm not trying to be an influencer. And then when I was moving back to New York City, and I say back because I had my first stint with New York City in 2013, was totally fresh out of college, broke college student, as we all were. And I was like, never mind, I can't do this. So when I came back in 2016, I was like, well, I'm in a different place in my career. I'm going to make good money, air quotes, good money. So I should be able to afford New York, right? And I realized that I was actually in a lot of debt. And when I looked at that debt, I was like, what was this? Flights, restaurants, just living above your means, right? And for me, when I asked myself, why was I even spending money on these things that I wouldn't say I didn't care for, because at some point they did excite me, but they didn't really have any intention, right? It was just kind of like things I did as a young person. I realized that it was all influenced by people on the internet, you know, like wanting to have the same lifestyle as the travel creators who were getting paid or going for free anyway, but I was paying out of my own pocket, you know, not wanting to wear an outfit, repeating it every single day, which was such a silly way of thinking. And all these things just kind of add up. I've heard some people call it lifestyle creep. You know, you make a little bit more money, you make just so you get a couple $1,000 raise, but all of a sudden your monthly expenses are a couple $1,000 more. And that was kind of how I was living for so long. There was no intention behind what I was spending. I was just doing it because I thought I had to. If you look at the parallel of my social media experience or my social media growth during this time, you can actually see that I had no community. Was I growing in followers? Sure. But the follower growth, even at that time, right? I'm talking 2016, was people doing giveaways. Follow, unfollow, or you follow
thousands. God, I remember those.
Yeah, right. And then you unfollow them, and then whoever likes you sticks around. It's kind of like telling people you exist. That wasn't real community. That was just numbers, right? But I was seeing the numbers grow. I was getting the likes. I was getting comments. This is back in the day when hashtags can get you, you know, so much reach. So I was seeing these results on social media. And I was spending money and I was like, this must be the thing, right? Like if I just keep living this aspirational lifestyle, I'm definitely going to eventually do something with this. I was getting stuff gifted, stuff for free, super cool, but I wasn't making any money as a creator either because I didn't really have that. I didn't have a brand around me. And I didn't have a community around me. So that was definitely how not to try to do this. And then things, of course, flash forward, turned around.
You were around $10,000 in debt at the time. Yes. One thing that I've noticed that you do on social really well is that you're super open about your beliefs and the things that you care about, and you're outspoken. And that's so different than a lot of influencers who sort of tiptoe around the topics that they care mm-hmm. about. Walk me through the beginning of creating that community. How did you become a little bit more open with your people, but also how did you, again, start creating an actual community out of the number of followers that you had at the time?
First things first, I had to just come out and be honest with my community about how I was living and what I was doing. And what's interesting is that not many people have to do this. And honestly, no one has to do anything online, but I just felt like it was the fair thing to do, because I remember I was getting a lot of comments and DMs from people saying, I don't know how you do it. Oh my gosh, you're my inspiration. How do you live like this? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, on the Amex card that I'm racking up points on, you know, so it just didn't feel authentic to me. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with if you want to splurge on yourself and you have a way to kind of bounce back from that. But I wasn't doing it again with that intention. I was just doing it because I felt pressured to do it. So I realized people are thinking I'm living this glamorous lifestyle on a PR budget, right? Because I was in media, and you know, working in media, you're not getting paid that much money. Mm-hmm. And I had all these people who said they looked up to me and looked up to my career, but I wasn't giving them a realistic way of living this career. So I came out, and I remember I said, I have this one post where I said, you all, enough is enough. You need to know that what I've been sharing online has just been a collection of the things I thought needed to be shared. It was curation, literally content curation. And I respect you if you have to leave, if this is not something that you want to be a part of. But if you want to be here for the growth and for me to kind of change things around, here I am. And it was one of those like big announcement posts. And the reason why I did that is because I wanted to hold myself accountable. I didn't want to go through another cycle of, well, I'm going to be myself now, but is myself going to be a curated version of myself? Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to just stick accountable. And that was the first time that I felt like people reacted in a way that felt two-way authentic, right? They were like, wow, I didn't really know that about you, or wow, thank you for sharing that. And at that point, I did already come out of debt. So it's another thing to just know that you don't have to come out on social media and talk about things that you feel very vulnerable about in the moment. So if I had talked about being in debt while being in debt, I probably would not have come out the same way. But for me, once I got through that big thing that was scary for me, then I wanted to go talk about it. So after I came out and talk about it, then of course, the funny thing is, someone in the media picked it up and wanted to talk about it and wanted to say, we want to explore this topic a little more, but it was the New York Post, and I should have known. But the funny thing is that the New York Post, you know, scandalizes everything, but it got picked up so much. And I think it was about way more than just me. At that time in 2018, so many people and media wanted to prove that influencers were fake, that the industry was not authentic, and that everything you see online is a lie. So my story was just the perfect example mm-hmm. of how everything is a lie. But the reality is that the life I was living wasn't a lie. It was just someone else's version of my life. So what I then decided to do is sit down with my story and think, okay, well, you didn't just spend money traveling because you wanted to spend money traveling. Like, why do you love travel? There's probably something in there. And I realized, actually, I do like travel. I wish I could afford to do it more on my salary, which these days I can, right? But I then said, but what do you love about travel? I really love the freedom. I actually feel most creative when I travel. So all these things, I started to kind of inventory my life and inventory the things that were important to me, the challenges I've had, the milestones I've had, and start to almost create like a mosaic of my story. And I realized the only way I could show up online authentically is if I was confident in my story and who I am. And then over time, that even started translating to my values, which I think for many people, they're not usually afraid of speaking up about values because of the fear of rejection. Those things are important to you. So that took a lot of time. I started with the surface level stuff, right? I started with the things I enjoyed doing, my challenges, my milestones, my hobbies. And then I got deeper and deeper into some wounds that I wanted to open up to my community about. What I found through this is that the more that I did this, the more people would react in ways that felt really good. Like I felt like people felt seen. They felt heard. People would respond to some posts that would be like seen, you know, and I would joke and say, yes, if I got a seen comment or a DM, I was winning that day on social media, because then I realized it's not about show and tell. It's actually about making other people feel connected to you. And if you make people feel seen and heard, that is the most authentic way of connecting with someone.
Right. One of the things that I know you do with your clients now 101 is helping them reach that point, one, and two, sort of crafting a personal brand. When you're sort of working with your clients 101, what's your method of going about creating and crafting this personal brand and this personal message more so?
For me, a personal brand is made up of these things. It's who you are, what you want to share with the world, and who you want to share it with. If you know those three things, you can build a personal brand. And the difference between that and just, you know, coming on and sharing your story with the internet is it's missing who it's for. So then you just kind of become, you know, almost like a speaker. You're just speaking about your life, which is great, but without knowing who you want to be reaching, it doesn't become a two-way conversation. So a lot of what I do with my clients is we start to explore those three areas for them, right? Who you are, tell me your story. I want you to literally pretend we're in an elevator for 5 minutes. It's a really long elevator. And you are going to give me your entire life story. And that question usually stumps people. They're like, I can't tell you my life story in 5 minutes, but you're going to tell me the most important parts of your life in 5 minutes, because that's all you've got. You're going to share the things that feel really good. And that's how we turn people who are just, right, air quotes, fashion creators into people who want to inspire confidence in women through clothes. It's when people realize that the thing I just wanted to make stuff about actually has a deeper connection to me. There's someone who I worked with who was really about sustainability and actually K-pop, which you think is like so interesting. From the outside, you're thinking they're a sustainability creator who likes K-pop. But then when we were digging into their story, I realized that what they actually care about is community. They don't really need to be sitting in the United Nations making legislation for sustainability. They just want to bring people together around sustainability. When it comes to the entertainment industry, they just want to give voices to fans because they love the community aspect of fans. So it was really about building communities, less so about these categories. So it's really important. And you can do this work on your own, just asking yourself, like, so if I like this thing that I want to talk about, because that's usually how people come in. They're like, I want to make a blog about, or I'm going to make a channel about, and it's just a category. And there are thousands of people who also just have a category online. And I also feel that when you go through framework like that, you become less burnt out as it becomes to making content, because you know exactly what to make. I can wake up tomorrow and say, I know what my community wants to hear today, because you've been studying them. You've been thinking about them, and you're very clear on exactly what you want to make for them.
Tell me, when you were back in your 9-to-5, what did you say? Okay, you know what? I can do this by myself. Tell me a little bit about how you prepped to make the jump, and then what in your mindset told you this is the right time?
Oh yeah. I could have quit my job so many years before I quit my job. And what's crazy is that what I do today as a whole on business, I was doing on the side, right, as my side hustle since 2018. That was when I was creating content. I was also freelancing and trying to give people social strategy and influencer strategy. And I think the biggest change, if I'm being honest, was the mindset shift around what money meant to me. Because a lot of people's fears is, of course, the regular paycheck. What happens to the regular quote paycheck? But the reality is that money is just a value and energy exchange. And if you look at your entire compensation for wherever you are right now, right? A lot of people say, but what about healthcare? That's just compensation. That's just money that you're not seeing as a line item, right? So when you look at that, you ask yourself, is the energy that I'm putting in for this exchange fair? And then I realized my corporate job, though I loved what I did day to day, being in the corporate environment drained my energy. And if it was draining my energy, no matter how much money I was making, I think my time was done. And I wanted to be able to try a different way of making and earning income, which was having energy exchanges directly with people, where people would give me their money. So that kind of mindset shift really happened for me. And to prepare for that, I really started to also think about how I paid myself. again, if you're working a 9 to 5, you're getting that paycheck and, you know, healthcare, probably getting covered, retirement, all the goods. But for me, I started to almost treat my bank account like Grand Central Station, as I say, and all the money that went in from my paycheck, from my side hustle, that was now money that I would still take out and pay myself. I would literally throw it into a high yield savings account and then pay myself a couple $1,000s every other week. And I started to now get in the habit of realizing, oh, all the money that comes into my life is mine, the energy that I've put out there. Now, how can I pay myself and get control back? And when you eliminate that barrier, you then realize that you're not just staying for the money, right? Or you don't just want to leave because you think the money is going to save you. You don't want to leave because there is a bigger reason, whether it is, you know, comfort levels. You start to separate money from the job, and then you can clearly see, oh, again, the energy I'm putting into this is actually not aligned with me. And that was the only reason I quit my job. So you really have to do that work yourself and realize, all right, if money is just energy, is this good energy? And if it's not, where do I want to be? And know that wherever you go, when you say no to things that are not aligned to you, you're making so much more space in your life. And I knew at that moment when I felt more confident in that decision that if I didn't have a job tomorrow, right? And by job, I meant no freelancing gigs came up. And you know, what's crazy is I quit right before the pandemic, a few months before. So yeah, that actually literally happened where clients sadly had to let go of me because no one knew what was happening. But I knew that I would have space energetically, mentally to come up with something. I would come up with something, or I would go find a different cool job that gave me the energy I wanted to be in. I was confident that space would give me the things I wanted to feel valued and to feel excited and to feel good.
You've invested as much money in non-traditional education than you have in your, like, basically in your bachelor's. Walk me through some of the investments, educational investments that you've made throughout the career, especially as it relates to this part of your career now and your business.
Yeah. I think many entrepreneurs or soon to be aspirational entrepreneurs have at least invested in a mini course, right? It's like $100 maximum, or you've downloaded every single freebie possible. And when you make that investment, that first coach, mentor, whoever you hire, that's going to cost you $5,000. For some people, they go all the way and it's $10,000. When you make that first big, scary investment, it's not even about the coach anymore. It's about you. Now you're like, well, I better get this done. I better do everything I signed up for. And that is just the thing that we're really scared of is, can I hold myself accountable to doing the things that need to be done? Even as someone who has a program that is high ticket, I know people's biggest hesitations are always, am I going to be overwhelmed? Yeah, you probably are. And that's a good thing. I want you to like completely shift how you think about the world. So for, you know, really realizing that that first investment, it's never about the coach. It's always about you. So ask yourself, does this space that I'm trying to invest in, is it aligned with me, right? Is it a space that I want to explore? And worry less, and I say this with caution, of course, you never want to get scammed, but worry less about how many modules are there? How many calls? Because those things actually don't matter as much. There can be a call every week, there can be a call every month, but if you're in the right space where you feel like you're going to get the growth that you need, you're going to find transformation.
So this year is the first year in which your business is going to close with $500,000. Yes. Let's round of applause, please.
Did not think that was possible.
Tell us what changed, at least on the mindset level. We're going to get to the practicality of it later on.
I was one of those people who is thinking way smaller than reality. And I don't know if this is from being Latina, women of color, like we just think we're so happy to be here. I'm like, so grateful. I'm so grateful to have this little business. And then I just left it at that. And then I realized, wait, there are other people with less experience than me, less investments than me, right? Because I didn't have to go get a life coaching certification. Like, you don't really need that. But I thought I needed all the things. And they're not just making more money than me, but have more freedom in their life than me because they have these huge businesses that are more developed. And I never want to send anyone into a comparison trap. But for me, seeing that actually kind of lit everything on fire. And I realized, like, you're thinking way too small. So for example, I started with having, you know, consulting clients who I would do strategy for with influencer marketing. I had people one-off that I would do business coaching with. I never thought I would have a group program. I was like, no, I really like my clients. I'm so happy to be here. And then I realized like, wait, for me to be able to reach more people, mm-hmm. I need to make programs that are more accessible to more people at the same time. I also then, if I have all these clients coming in, how am I going to service them more over time? Those are mindset shifts that really started to happen that helped me be able to earn more revenue. And this year, I would even say the biggest difference between this one and the last, aside from investing in myself, because I'm like serially investing in myself for wherever I find a gap, I'm like, who am I hiring? I just hired like an operations manager because I'm like, oop, a gap. But for me, I realized, okay, if I have given myself space, again, spaciousness is a big theme for me. How can I now use that space to make something that allows me to rest? Because I was kind of like new service, more work, more programs. Then I thought, wait, how do I make programs that allow me to rest a little? Because this is now year three in business. How do I, you know, take care of myself more? How do I prioritize myself more? That meant different services that didn't need my energy all the time. That also meant me hiring people full time. Mm-hmm. And all those decisions were kind of brought upon that mindset shift of, ooh, as a business owner, I also need to prioritize myself now that I've experimented.
I have two follow-up questions. You said that you're investing heavily in you right now. And it's so rare that we hear women, especially Latina women, say that out loud. Oh, I'm investing in myself. That's unheard of. Tell me, you mentioned one thing already, but what are some of the things that you're investing on right now to scale the business?
Something that I always do, and actually I did learn this in life coaching school. So like there are these different areas of your life. You can look at almost like a wheel, right? We've got relationships, mental health, physical health, career, hobbies. Like if you look at your life as an inventory, you should be investing money or time in yourself for all these areas of life to be at your happiest. So when I look at my life that way, I always make sure I'm at least involved in something. So for example, right now, when you're looking at career, right? I actually have been investing in someone who's a little bit more technical in terms of advice as it relates to me scaling my business. Someone who I really admire, Rachel Rogers. It's the We Should All Be Millionaires Club. And in there, I'm getting the very technical, how to make your next hire, how to do this, right? So like that, I just hired the operations manager who's going to come and like retweak everything in our business and processes. Cool. As it relates to my physical health, I've actually invested in a health coach who can hold me accountable to advocating for myself in the health space, to eating the way that I need to for my body and my chronic illness, to helping me heal. Been investing in a medical professional who's helping me with things that I'm going through physically. As it relates to mental health, we love therapy. We're invested there. Thankfully, I'm only investing time because my insurance covers it. And when you're looking at relationships, right, we're investing in actually activities that are going to help my partner and I get closer. When you're looking at mind and just like, you know, your philosophy and your way of thinking, I have a mindset coach who I keep on retainer. So she's constantly just challenging my mindset. Every day mm-hmm. we find something new. When you think you're done, there's always something more. So I really do inventory of my life in this way to then start to realize how can I invest money or time, because time is also an investment, and really take care of myself holistically. I think what a lot of entrepreneurs do, not wrong, but could do better, is we always want to invest in like the technical, there what we think has ROI, right? Like mm-hmm. we think if I sign up for this business class that teaches me how to launch a course, I'm going to get ROI. I'm going to launch a course to make some money. But the problem is all these other areas of life also give you an ROI. Mm-hmm. If I'm at my physical best, I can do way more for my clients. If I'm at my mental best, I'm going to have more fun and I'm going to do way more. My mindset coach, she's someone who said, you have this program you said you're launching. She talks nothing about business, but she says, you said you have a program, an online class you wanted to launch. Why haven't you launched it? She asked me all these questions and I realized I've just been sitting on pressing the publish button. And she was like, we're hanging up right now and you're publishing this class. And the moment I published it, I remember it was 10:30 PM. And she said, oh, and you're emailing people right now. And you're saying we just launched. And I'm like, that goes against all marketing principles. I launched it at 10:30 PM. I think the email literally was like, why the heck am I sending an email at 10:30 PM? more than 100 people bought the program, right? So like it was really the mindset shift that needed to happen. ROI happens from everywhere in mm-hmm. your life. So make sure you're investing equally.
A lot of times when we want to become business owners, we romanticize the idea of being our own boss. But if you don't set systems that allow you to detach yourself from the business, you technically don't have a business because you are working again in exchange for your money. That's sort of the biggest difference between being a corporate person, a business owner, and then like a company builder, someone who yeah. makes money from the company, but doesn't necessarily have to be there like 24/7. So what are some of those tools or systems that you put in place to allow that to happen?
Well, that's funny because when I first started my business, to your point, I wasn't a business. I was just a freelancer exchanging mm-hmm. my time for money. And I realized, okay, wait, if I'm not working, if I'm not actively typing on a keyboard, money isn't coming in. That's actually a problem. So what I really, again, when it comes to systems, number one, you have to, as much as we say we want freedom when we work for ourselves, create boundaries for yourself. Create your office hours. I remember the way I started when it came to office hours was giving myself almost like a theme for every day. So I knew that Mondays I was in my don't bother me energy. Like I really do not like talking to people on Mondays. That has changed. And in the beginning, I called those the admin days. So I could be sending invoices, you know, consolidating my email all day without being bothered. And I was thriving. But then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I was feeling social. So all my clients calls were Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I was having coaching on those days, and it just felt really fun. Wednesdays, because it's the middle of the week, I was in lower energy, but I felt creative, right? Because I'm in the middle of it, I'm in the thick of it. So Wednesdays used to be my creating day. This doesn't mean that you ignore all your tasks every single day unless it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but by giving myself themes, I started to be in the right mindset each day, and I kind of expected what was coming. But I started to also then build some routines, and the routines were very important for me to keep going, because otherwise you're just sitting on an endless to-do list, just getting things done all the time, you know, chasing your tail. So that really helped me out. And then the next big thing that I think happened was boundaries around communication. And that means email, that means phone, that means Zoom. The interesting thing is my year one of business was throughout a pandemic where everyone was on Zoom all the time. And I realized every time I get on camera with someone, I'm just fatigued because, you know, you want to be there. You want to be in full energy. Mm-hmm. But if I turned off my camera, I could actually be in my mind more because I'm not thinking about how I'm looking on screen. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, speaking my truth. So I realized, a boundary. I'm going to tell people unless necessary, you can find me off camera, right? So little things like that. I know.
I'm going to implement this.
I've had people say like, oh, thank gosh, I have Zoom fatigue. And I'm like, don't we all, right?
I love that.
So just like really telling people what your boundaries are, not being afraid to share them. Something I do a lot now is when I'm feeling a little bit, quote, you know, behind, I hate using that word, but we know what we all mean. Our to-do list is getting long. I set permanent away messages on my email and I tell people, hey, you can actually expect to hear from me between 5 to 7 days right now, just based on my workload. Hope you understand if this is really an emergency, you know how to find me and they will find you. They will mm-hmm, call you, right? Mm-hmm. So really building boundaries around your communication style, your communication needs can also help you not get so fatigued and burnt out. And then aside from that, as you grow your business, of course, the practicalities around hiring more people, but not just hiring people to hire. You really have to be intentional, again, about your energy. I swear sometimes I'm like, I should be in the business of energy.
You're the second person on El ADN who has mentioned sort of like dividing their time. The first one was also a business owner and her name is the same as you, Lizeth Rios. She mentioned exactly the same thing, that she blocks certain days to do certain stuff. And I'm like, that's a really good use of your time and something that not a lot of people are open about, just time management. This is like a PSA. If you're working on like an actual corporate job, a 9-to-5, and you feel that you don't have the say in your time, who's telling you that? Like mm-hmm. it's a little bit more about reclaiming that time, especially now that we're at least working remote, a lot of us still. Bueno, Lisa, we haven't gotten into the social media tea. Everyone knows that you're a social media connoisseur, so I have a few questions. If you were starting a brand from scratch today, or if you were starting a influencer account or a social media account for from scratch today, what will you focus on?
Okay, so I have this rule of three and it's my favorite. So rule of three means I'm going to be on a maximum of three platforms. I actually believe that that is the maximum any single person can control or participate in before they totally lose their mind. And if you have the liberty and luxury of having team members to support you, of course, be on as many platforms as possible. But the rule of three is very intentional. Platform one is my home base, and that is the platform that I can most consistently create on based on the type of content it's asking for. Because the thing is, we're only going to consistently make something that comes easy to us, that feels fun. If you can do a mix of photos and videos and, you know, you really enjoy that, be on Instagram. If you really hate taking photos, you don't want to do it, you just want to do videos, but you don't like editing long videos, go be on TikTok. If you really like editing long videos because you love talking for a long time, YouTube is waiting for you. And if you're a writer and all you want to do is write all day, blogs are not dead, right? So like, that is what you need to do, is find a home base of something you really want to create around. I do believe you can create communities and monetize on any platform. So it's still possible. Now, rule of three, number two, is I want you to be on a platform that is either there to help you with search or to support your business. And why that's important is because I don't think everyone should put all their eggs in one basket. So I think search or monetization is the next big focus area, right? So if I'm on Instagram, let's say, and I want to be more searchable, I might cross post some of my long captions as blog posts, or maybe I just want to repost them as pins because we know that those are easily searchable on the internet. If someone's searching for an influencer coach, they're not going to find me if I was only on Instagram. So that's the really kind of just business smart part. Number three is be on a platform just for fun. And that is actually just as important as the business one. Because the thing is, and what I think is probably happening with a lot of people on TikTok, is you need to be on a platform that you feel no pressure by, that you don't really have a follower count yet. And if you do, you're like, whatever, it's just been people trickling in. I don't feel pressure. It's something that comes new. And sometimes new is fun. New is fun when there's no pressure. And you end up building a new skill. That happened to me with TikTok. I've had people call me the Reels Queen. And I'm like, if only you knew that in 2019, I was terrified of short form video. I could not even edit a video. I couldn't even speak to the camera. But I got on TikTok because I thought, I need to get better at video and no one here follows me. No one here knows me. So let me just get on and let me just have fun. And of course, you naturally build a community. So it's great. It's a win-win. But the thing is, when you're on a platform for fun, you end up learning a new skill. And then you also end up building a different community because you're not just reposting. If you're reposting all your content on all of these, you're doing yourself a disservice because there's nothing new to find in some of these other places. So the for fun really does that for you. 2021, I was on Clubhouse religiously, not because I cared that much about Clubhouse, but because I was not a great speaker live. I thought, okay, if I want to do more podcasts, if I want to go on live on Instagram more, let me go do Clubhouse where like, I don't have that barrier of being on camera and I can practice and no one here follows me, right? Boom, like months later, I end up getting a lot of community members coming from Clubhouse, but that only happened because my guard was down. Your guard will always be up with whatever is home for you because you're going to feel like that is curated.
Instagram versus TikTok, what are some of the practical tactics that you would say allow people for more conversion of followers? One is Instagram, one is TikTok.
For both of them, it really is about being consistent on the things you want to impact around. Because when it comes to growth, you grow when you make content that is shareable and discoverable. Meaning, if my content is going to be super clear, it might end up on the explore page. It might get more views. If my content is shareable, people are sharing it. So people are discovering it all the time. But you won't actually turn them into followers if the other stuff isn't already consistent, which is why the videos that get, you know, as we say, no reach usually means a couple hundred or a couple thousand, and we're not used to it. But those videos are just as important as the viral ones. brands, because those are almost building like a moat around your brand, where if someone comes to visit your page because one of the videos took off or one of the videos was shared a ton, they come and they realize, oh my gosh, they have so much other content. I'm so excited to find this creator. And another example I like to give counter to that is every anniversary, my How I Met My Boyfriend reel goes viral. This year it hit 12 million views. Did I get 12 million followers? No, because that is actually just a personal post. And when people go to my page, they realize, oh, her boyfriend's not even really on all this content. I wanted relationship content. And they leave, which is fine, right? Because I'm not trying to attract people who care about the relationship content. But that is just to really prove, you know, conversion happens from consistency. Mm. And the other thing to keep in mind, different though, from Instagram and TikTok, is that Instagram, people consume who they know before they explore. What I mean is, you log on Instagram and you see the people you follow, you see people who the people you follow follow. So it's from your own network. So your content needs to cater almost to your community, because if you want it to be shared, you need to understand your community and know their needs. If you want it to be discoverable, yes, you can make it clear, but all your content should be clear. On TikTok though, people consume stranger first, meaning you might be, they might be the first time someone sees you when you end up on their For You page. So when you're stranger first, consistency is actually even more important, because the only way I'm going to be interested in going and discovering your page and maybe clicking follow is I've seen you come up so many times saying the same type of stuff or in the same type of energy that now I'm like, wait, let me go follow this person, right? There's a person, I believe her handle's Tay Debop, but I just think of her as Bebop, and she is this home decor girl, DIY. And I remember in the beginning, I would see her colorful home. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Keep going. Probably saved her videos. But then every time I saw this colorful, funky decor on my feed, I was like, oh, it's that Taylor. So then I started following Taylor because I consistently saw this stranger in the same way. So Instagram community, TikTok, stranger.
Something that you haven't done yet that you want to do in the future.
I would love to write a book. And I actually never wanted to write a book, but I feel like lately it's kind of been downloading into my brain, because I'm someone who actually can skew a little bit more technical. I am less of someone who can speak from like a high level and like help you change your mind with like the words I said. And I feel like I've actually been shifting a little bit more in that direction, because I think I've just found more alignment in myself and the way I do business, where I don't need to rely on here's how you do this. I can just tell people like, here's like why you do this, right? So for me, I think writing a book, I'm in a better mindset, would do it.
If you could tell your future self one thing, what would that be?
The most important thing is if you honor and are true to yourself. And I know that that sounds so basic, but it's like what I wish I could have heard earlier and what I hope I keep reminding myself later. Because no matter what you do, no matter how much you take care of your mindset, there's always a pressure of, should I be doing it this way? Should I be saying this? Like, it comes up all the time. And I just want to remind myself, like, if you honor yourself, your values, and who you want to be, you're going to still attract the people that you want to work with.
Beyond your work, how do you want to be remembered?
I definitely want to be remembered as someone who... And this is maybe, I guess, related to work if you really think about it. But my favorite quote is, leave things or people better than you found them. And for me, I just want to be remembered by making people feel good about themselves, right? When I walk into a room, not work related, I'm the person who is complimenting a stranger and wanting to start conversation with a stranger and asking them about their life. And for me, it's just important for people to like get to be excited about themselves and really get excited about the things they think are boring. You know, when you're wearing an outfit and I compliment it and you're like, oh, I just put this on. And I'm like, but that's exciting. Right. So like, I want to be remembered by someone who helped other people feel excited about their life.
Love it. Thank you so much for being here, Lisette, and for sharing all of your wisdom with us. Así que gracias.
Thank you. Gracias. I'm so excited.
Here are my top takeaways from our conversation. Number one, invest as much in non-traditional education as you do in college. Never stop learning and growing in all areas of life and business. Number two, stop showing off online and start posting real life content that resonates with your community. People want to connect with you, not be impressed by you. And number three, put systems and boundaries in place that honor yourself and your future goals. Thank you so much for listening. Gracias, mi gente. Be sure to follow, subscribe, and leave us a review. That's so helpful and exciting to us. If you learned something from this episode, share it with a friend. I'm sure they'll enjoy it as well. We drop new episodes every single Monday morning, but you can always find us on Instagram at @eladnpodcast. And before you leave, we want to hear your takeaways from today's guest. Share with us via Instagram stories, and don't forget to tag @eladnpodcast and Victoria Leandra for a regram. See you next week. Hasta la próxima, familia.